Hi folks, welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony coming to you back in New Zealand. The last few videos I've done were in Pennsylvania, so I haven't really been able to do interviews apart from myself and Holly doing things. So back in New Zealand with all my recording gear now, so I can do interviews. Unfortunately, Holly's still in America, so that's really hard. But, you know, here I am, and hopefully she'll be able to come back sometime before the end of the year back to New Zealand. Anyway, so, and with me today I have Leo Homan, who I'm sure anybody that follows A Minute to Midnight or Leo Homan himself has no problem recognising. It's good to be talking to you again, Leo, after a good couple of months of not having a chance to interview you and talk, so it's good to be back doing it again.
Yeah, I'm excited to be back on the show. I always get some good feedback whenever I'm on your show, Tony, so thanks for having me.
And I've been using bits of your articles in some of my other videos as well since, you know, we haven't talked, but there's always a lot of very interesting stuff on your website and also on your Substack. So, yeah, there's a few topics we can go with. I'll let you start off where you want to go.
Well, the big news here in America that's reverberating, I'm sure, around the world was the indictment last night, yesterday afternoon, of Donald Trump. Tony, this is really unprecedented, uncharted waters that we're heading into in this country, where the administration currently in office has the audacity to indict their political opponent. Trump is far and away leading in the polls. It looks like he will easily win the primary and be the candidate of choice for the Republicans to run against Joe Biden or whoever else the Democrats decide to run. And now he's being indicted by that very same administration of Joe Biden. And I guess what is freaking me out, Tony, is not just that they're indicting Donald Trump. As you know from reading my articles, I'm not the biggest fan of Donald Trump. No. I criticize him often in my pieces. But the feeling I'm getting from this this reckless action, but maybe it's not so reckless, maybe it's by design, is that they're sending a message to people in this country, once a free country, that you better be careful what you say, because even if it's just an opinion, it can get you in trouble. And while giving a false, let me just give you an example of one of the headlines that was put out by the Associated Press on this story yesterday. It says, here it is, Trump made, quote, knowingly false claim about Michigan election, and that's what it says in the indictment. So it says, I don't know if you can read it there, but indictment.
Yeah.
They're quoting from the indictment, and they're saying that he knowingly made a false claim about the election. Now, traditionally, under the American legal system, if you make a claim that's false, even if it's knowingly false, you cannot be prosecuted for that. That would be called slander or libel. And those cases must be taken into the civil courts. In other words, if you said something about me, Tony, that I thought was false, I could sue you. I could take you to court and sue you civilly for making this statement, especially if your false claim injured me in some way, you know, led to me losing income or having to pay for my legal fees and stuff like that. But in no way, shape, or form could you run to the police and say, you know what, or could I run to the police and say, I didn't like what Tony said about me. And it was false. And I think you should arrest him. And so the police come knocking on Tony's door in the middle of the night and arrest and haul him out of his house in handcuffs and put him on trial for making a false statement. That is not American. Hmm. That is nowhere in the American legal structure. There are no precedents for this type of criminal action against somebody. He is essentially being prosecuted for exercising his free speech, his First Amendment free speech rights. This is unchartered, as I said, and so it's starting to get scary because what I see happening here, and I don't know if the same thing is going on in New Zealand or Australia or any of the other formerly free countries, but what I see happening here is they have divided this country into two teams with the constant provocations by the media, by the statement from the statements by Joe Biden. If you recall that red speech that he gave on September 1st of last year, where he said Trump supporters are a danger to our democracy. And so they've divided the country up, the media and the politicians, into two teams, the Trump team and the Biden team. Yeah. And now they're prosecuting the leader of one of those teams. And if they are successful in this, I think what's going to happen is you're going to see the next stage of this, really what amounts to a coup attempt, where the government will be going after all of the members of the team. First, they're trying to take down the leader, and next they'll go after the members. Who is a member of the Trump team? Well, that could be very subjective. As I said, I have often written very critical things about Donald Trump. But I'm sure if they go through my writings and speeches, they could find something that would allow them to attach me somehow to that Trump team. And so everyone should be worried about this. Everyone in America should be, even if they're on the Biden team, should be worried about this. Because what if Trump or someone like Trump gets back in office and says, you know what, we've been done wrong by this Biden team, this Democrat team, so now we're going to turn the tables on them and we're going to start rounding up people on the Democrat or Biden team. So it can go both ways, and this is exactly why our founding fathers were against this type of political chicanery. It's the type of thing that we would see normally in third world countries, but now it is here in America. And one final point before we can move on to some other things, topics, but even if this indictment fizzles out and is unsuccessful in when it plays out in court, I think they still achieve some, if not all, of their goals, because it's still going to be a chilling, it's going to have a chilling effect on free speech. Even if Trump is not convicted, the mere fact that he could be arrested and humiliated and have to hire expensive legal advisors, lawyers, that alone will have a chilling effect on free speech, because everybody is not wealthy like Trump. Everybody cannot afford the best attorneys, or maybe they can't afford an attorney at all. And so they're going to stop speaking out critically against the Biden team. Right now, under the current regime, one team gets free speech rights, the other doesn't. The First Amendment only applies to the Biden team. If you're on that team, you can speak freely. If you're on this other team, I'm afraid that you're going to have to self-censor, even if Trump is not convicted and this all fizzles out. You're going to probably self-censor because you don't want to run the risk of saying something that could get you arrested. And then now you have to hire an expensive team of attorneys like Trump did to get you off. So, yeah, I think it's very problematic, very troublesome, very, very concerning.
I'm looking at that too. And on the other side of things, you've got, say, if you look at Fox News, you've got all this talk about the Bidens and the corruption and all that. And it's like, is Joe Biden also going to be thrown under the bus and, you know, scapegoated to... I mean, I'm sure there's a ton of corruption in the Biden regime, but perhaps it's going to come that way as well, where they'll prosecute Biden at some point. And then I see Rand Paul talking about prosecutions towards Fauci from COVID era and all that. And I'm looking at this going, what is the game plan here? Because perhaps if they're trying to get world government, which we know they are, the whole thing is going to implode in both directions, so that then they have to step in and bring some sort of change. You know, I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but I'm just really interested that you've got the... I mean, Fox News has got a big readership and viewership, and so they're pushing all this Biden corruption scandal top news all the time. And that won't be by accident, because, you know, Rupert Murdoch and so forth, the media moguls, they are only going to let stuff go on Fox, which they want as well. So you've got this left and right paradigm, like you say, the Hegelian dialectic. You have the thesis and the antithesis. So what's the goal? It's a synthesis. Somewhere they want to take us, or Americans and the world in general, and trying to figure out where this is going is a bit of a tough one.
I think what they are deathly afraid of, these globalist elites, Tony, is that the left and the right and the center should ever unite against them.
Yeah.
That is the one thing that they would be utterly terrified of.
Yeah.
And so they've got to continue to keep us divided. When you look at the playing field, we're all being oppressed in one way or another, through the globalist policies. Yeah. Now, everyone isn't having their free speech rights attacked, but everybody is suffering either economically, politically, or socially one way or another. Yeah. You know, let's look at the Black community as just one example. Opening up the borders, the Black community in America is hurt by that policy more than any other community. Their jobs are being stolen. Their wages are being driven down for the jobs that remain. And their standard of living is therefore under attack. In fact, in Chicago, some members of the Black community there have been come out and been speaking out lately, saying that, you know, why are you they're approving like 50 million, some ungodly figure, $50 million worth of housing and other benefits for illegal immigrants. And they're saying, why are they getting $50 million when we're sitting here paying our taxes and working hard for a living? And you're just giving it away to these folks who came in illegally. And these are folks who vote Democrat, you know. So, I mean, you know, and then you've got the crime problem in the inner cities with the black on black crime and the killers not being prosecuted. So the good black people are coming under violent attack by these gangsters.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, all sides are oppressed, perhaps in different ways, but they're all oppressed by these same globalist policies that are being advocated by the likes of the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, and all of the bought-off stooge politicians.
It's interesting, having been away from America for 3 years and then coming back, I was stunned at how expensive it is in America. Food and everything. Like, I think now it's more expensive than New Zealand. I used to think it was the other way around. But now, having spent some time there, I'm thinking, this is crazy expensive. Everything is, I mean, your gas is still reasonably cheap compared to most places, but food and things, my gosh, it's so much more than it was 3 years ago. And you mentioned the World Economic Forum and all of that. So maybe, you know, their goal is some sort of collapse and then digital IDs.
And the latest indignity to be reported. Again, the state of Illinois, which we were talking about Chicago, the state of Illinois has now signed into law, the globalist governor of Illinois, Governor Pritzker, has signed a bill into law that allows non-citizens to become police officers and state police officers. So now these black members of the black community who are already upset about their jobs being stolen, their wages being driven down, their tax dollars being given as handouts to illegals, they can now be arrested by an illegal. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Put the cherry of insults on top of the cake.
Yeah.
All of this going on, and now you could find yourself being arrested, apprehended, and bullied or whatever by a illegal alien police officer. Unbelievable.
It is. There are just so many things that are unbelievable. I want to probably look at briefly three of your articles that you've recently posted. And the latest one, Viktor Orban speaks inconvenient truth, Russia cannot be defeated because it's a nuclear power. Do you want to explain us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, everything that you see going on in terms of the NATO countries funneling all of this weaponry and ammunition of greater and greater sophistication to Ukraine. What is the end goal there? Because Viktor Orban, I think, let the cat out of the bag. He stated the obvious. You cannot defeat Russia. Because if Russia finds itself to be on the brink of defeat, it will roll out its final and biggest weapon, right? Any self-respecting leader of a nation state would do this. If Russia has a proud history of hundreds of years in existence, longer than the United States, they're not going to allow themselves to have that stolen away by the U.S. or NATO or any alliance. They will send nuclear bombs to the source of the weapons, which is Washington, London, Berlin, Sydney. You know, who knows where else?
Yeah.
Because they're not just a nuclear power. They are the world's largest nuclear power. They also have delivery systems for those nuclear warheads that are far more advanced than anything the West has. Their anti-ballistic missile systems are more sophisticated than what the United States and NATO has. So if we fire nuclear weapons back at them, they have a better chance of knocking them out of the sky than we do their nuclear weapons. Because they have what? Hypersonic missiles, which are going at such a speed and maneuverability that they are very difficult to hit with a Patriot missile or some other, you know, defensive missile system. They're virtually impossible to hit before they come in and hit their targets. So by furthering this insane policy of arming Ukraine, a nation right on Russia's border, with all manner of sophisticated and advanced weapons, and now you've got Poland, which seems to be just eager to join the fight. They're loaded for bear and ready to jump into this fight. I think at the first approval of their masters in the United States and Washington, they would be happy to jump into this fight. And now then you have a world war. This is where World War I started, in this same area of the country, of the world. And so it almost appears to me, at least, this is just my opinion, that the United States and the Western powers are not averse to World War III and the potential for that to go to nuclear exchange.
I guess if you're trying to bring in an economic collapse in the whole new world system, then war is a great way to do it. But yeah, I was just thinking as you were saying that. I mean, if you were Russians, you would think probably the first step would be to launch EMPs over the US and cripple everything before you launch, you know, nuclear strikes on cities or whatever. So I don't know. I mean, it's crazy. Nobody seems to be talking about how you find peace in this whole situation because I don't think they want
it. No, not at all. But that's what Viktor Orban was saying. We need the adults in the room, if there are any, to stand up and sit down and talk peace.
Yeah.
This is the way I kind of ended my article. I said, is it any wonder we are spiraling towards World War III? The globalists who are running the show believe climate change is the most pressing threat to humanity. And it just so happens that their solution for stemming the, quote, existential threat of climate change is to drastically decrease the global population. To that end, they have unleashed toxic death shots masquerading as vaccines. And now they're pushing for war with the world's largest nuclear power. Their climate agenda also includes a war on farms and food production. Yeah. So you have a three-prong attack on humanity there. You've got vaccines, you've got world war, and you've got the war on food. And I said, do not forget the Deagle forecast, yeah, which said that by 2025, the U.S. would have 68% fewer people. The U.K. would have 70% fewer people. Germany would have about 50 or 60% fewer people. Canada would have 36% fewer people. So perhaps I ended my article with this. I said, to save the planet, you starve the people. You vax the people. You kill the people with bombs and bullets. Is it all starting to make sense now? It's a three-prong attack on the very existence of the global population as it stands at 7.5 billion people. They would like to get that down to 1 or 2 billion people. Mm-hmm. And how do you do that? Vaccines alone won't do it. Famine alone won't do it. We've had famines before. And war alone won't do it. But if you combine those three things, now you're talking major depopulation, war, famine, and endless injections.
Well, that brings me to briefly, we won't go too much into it, but in another article you've written, Biden creates new permanent office of pandemic preparedness and response policy, signaling second round of medical martial law. And I'm thinking straight away to the exercise they ran last year called Catastrophic Contagion, which was run by the same players that did Event 201 before the COVID pandemic, and that Catastrophic Contagion one was supposed to be more deadly than COVID. So are we preparing for another, you know, illness that they'll have to scare everyone into submission with and do all the same things on steroids that they did with COVID?
Yes, well, they say in this press release where they announced this new permanent office of pandemic response, they say that they're expecting another, you know, the next pandemic, and they're putting that this office under a military man. Okay. It really is frightening, Tony, when you consider that this entire COVID thing was run by the military.
Yeah.
President Trump placed the Operation Warp Speed under a general. Nobody really was aware of this, but I've got the press release and I've got a picture of him and the general, Gustav, what was his name? Gustav something. When they announced Operation Warp Speed in, I believe it was May of 2020, I've got the photo of them together at the White House podium. I've got the news release with a link to it. And, there he is, General, what is his name? General Gustav Perna, PERNA. Him and Trump, they're announcing Operation Warp Speed, got the press release, got the photo, and then I turn back to flash forward 3 years, and now you've got Biden opening this permanent office, and he does what? He puts it under the leading of retired Air Force Major General Paul Fredericks. And I've got a picture of him too. So it's just a continuation, Tony, of this military biomedical security state oppressing the people with endless vaccines, which are in this case, in the case of the last COVID vaccine, I have no doubt in my mind after 2 years of it that it was a bioweapon.
Yeah.
It was a continuation of the COVID bioweapon, only they got the opportunity to inject it directly into people's bodies as opposed to leaving it to chance that they would catch it from one another. And if you talk to people who've been so-called vaccinated with this thing, they've all had COVID multiple times.
Yeah.
Okay. They're getting sick with other things that are commensurate with a weak immune system.
Yeah.
I have family members who have experienced this. And that was how, by the way, that the government was able to protect the pharmaceutical vaccine manufacturers from any sense of accountability or liability. How? They did that by putting this under the military. By doing that, they were able to say that, you know, you had no right of consent, of informed consent, because we were not under the Constitution. We were not under the regular American U.S. laws. We were under medical martial law. And they called it a emergency law. They didn't call it what it is, medical martial law. But the government is expert at this. They just call it something that sounds benign, but it's really something quite different. And anybody who opposed this, anybody who spoke up against the government media narrative, they were accused of being guilty of misinformation. They called it dis or malinformation. Mm-hmm. Whoever thought that speaking your mind, your opinion, whether it's factual or not, would be a crime. But that's what they're trying to do, Tony, is to criminalize all opposition to this global coup d'etat that took place. I don't know if it's completed yet, but it's well underway, and it was boomeranged by COVID. COVID was nothing but a test run for future lockdowns, which will be probably related to climate change.
Yeah.
Yes. And so they wanted to find out how many of us would be compliant, would be submissive. And I think they got a good idea.
Well,
I think they got a real good idea of who they're in it, who the ones are who will stand up against this. And unfortunately, it was probably not enough to make them back off.
And I think that if the catastrophic contagion next time is more deadly than COVID, then even half the people now that says, oh, they'll not do it again, they'll get scared and they'll fall in line just like they did before. So
I think you're right. That's why the subheadline to my article was, will Americans be duped again into complying with high-pressure masking, groupthink, forced lockdowns, and repeated mRNA jabs?
Yeah, and I know, and the world, not just Americans, and I see people still wandering around with masks on and so forth. Now, just very quickly, because our time's getting on, a third article which flows on from this, actually, quite nicely, you wrote, called Technocrat Says Quite Quiet Part Out Loud, a digital world ID will soon be mandatory for anyone who wishes to partake in day-to-day functions of society. And this, I believe, is where they want to go. They'll use the next crises as the catalyst to push us into this system. WorldCoin, which was co-founded by Sam Altman, who's, you know, from OpenAI, the ChatGPT guy, and they're pushing WorldCoin and associated technology with it, with you know, to push us into a digital system. So can you just briefly go into a little bit of what you were saying in that article?
Yeah, they have two products in this company. One is WorldCoin, which is a cryptocurrency, and the other is WorldID. So yeah. WorldCoin, the money system, and WorldID, which is the digital identity system. So they've got the entire package here. And what they're saying is that over the next couple of years, quote unquote, that's their estimate, not mine, you will be forced to accept this dual digitization of humanity, digital money and digital ID. They said you will be forced to accept it, a product, if not ours, one like it, whether you like it or not. I kid you not, this is what they said. Alex Blania, who is Sam Altman's partner in this gig, he's the one who said that. It is completely dictatorial. It is completely Luciferian. And it lines up completely with Revelation 13, which says you will not be able to buy or sell or function in society once they get this Mark of the Beast system in place. And it looks like, you know, I go into some detail in this article and a couple of others over the last week, 10 days, about how it's all coming together, Tony. We've got it in the airports here, the international flights. They're scanning people's faces, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, I discovered that.
Yep. Amazon has got the palm. They will collect your biometric data on your palm, and you can now buy your products at Whole Foods and Panera Bread, which uses this system. You go into those stores, you don't need cash, you don't need a credit card, you don't need a debit card, you don't even need your cell phone scanner. All you do is wave your palm over the scanner and you're able to buy whatever it is you want at that grocery store or that restaurant. The two most popular methods for the Beast system right now seem to be the palm and the iris scanning, the retina, the eyeball scanners. And so when you think about that, Tony, what does Revelation say the mark of the beast will be? Either in the forehead or the hand. The eyes are set into a person's forehead. The palm is part of your hand. So right now, the Beast system says we like these two biometric payment systems. And right now, it's voluntary, but as we move forward, the voluntary systems that they get us to accept, they eventually become what? Mandatory. And so you won't be able to buy or sell without this little scanner focused on your forehead or your hand. To me, if it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, and it behaves like a duck, well, by golly, it must be a duck. So people can say this is not the mark of the beast. I know preachers who are saying that. They're telling their congregations, oh, don't worry about it. This is not that. No, no, no. Don't worry about it, even though they're wanting digital. They're wanting to track you everywhere you go through this same system. So your freedom of travel is gone. Your freedom of speech, we've already discussed that. It's gone. Your freedom to buy and sell is the only thing that's left. Once this is fully implemented, Tony, you will have to submit to this system in order to buy or sell and function in everyday society. That's their words, Sam Altman and this character, Alex Blania, his partner. They're saying it. And it's not just my words. And so, yeah, this is an important article for people to not just read, but I think process, because it's really laying the foundation not only for the Beast system, but what is called the 15-minute city. How do you think people are, they're going to enforce people staying within 15 minutes of their house? They'll do it through the digital ID and the digital money. So now whenever they want to lock us down, whether it's for a so-called pandemic or climate change, they will know exactly where we are at all times if we have this biometric system in place with the digital ID and the digital money. So it's moving very fast, very, very fast, Tony. And even if this is not the mark of the beast, to me, it's acting like it. So why would you want to submit to something that acts exactly like the mark of the beast, even if maybe it's not quite there yet, but it's the final stage before we get to the mark of the beast, which could be some sort of implant? I don't know. But I'm just trying to be a watchman on the wall as best I can and warn people so that we can do what? Prepare ourselves psychologically, because it's going to take a lot of mental fortitude to stand up to this. And then also, of course, spiritually.
Yes, it's kind of scary how fast it's moving. It really is. And yeah, I guess in a nutshell, we've covered some of the areas, and of course there's a lot more as well. But yeah, that was pretty eye-opening, and it is pretty freaky, to be honest. When I got to the airport and realized how even things have changed, you know. Well, they've always done the x-rays for a while now and all that kind of thing, but it's like, all right, you know, where is this heading? It's scary how quickly it's changing.
Did they scan your face on the way out of New Zealand and when you got in the U.S.?
Or? No, I don't think in New Zealand we didn't.
Okay.
But L.A. airport, I think they probably did flying out of L.A. So it was like you're in a queue, and I'm thinking, what's going on? You know, I'm not actually sure because I didn't have to walk up in front of a scanner and them do it. But there were some things with covers on them, which I'm thinking is probably what they're going to be.
Right.
Yeah, but even just the way with putting tickets through things, and that's changed. Instead of a person checking it as a machine. And so, yeah, it's not quite there yet, but it looked to me like that's where this is heading. So, yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. We're quickly heading for a world managed and ruled by AI, artificial intelligence. Yeah. That's where it's heading, where there will be our algorithms deciding everything, whether you're allowed to move from point A to point B based on what, you know, your posts on Facebook or Instagram, your based on your buying habits. You know, did you buy too much meat during the last month, perhaps? Did you buy something else that was not approved? This will all be able to be enforced once they have these two things in place, digital ID and digital currency.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I guess, as I've said, people are going to have to think pretty hard now what's their line they're going to, where's your cutoff point into what we're going to accept, because it's going to be a slippery slope. And it's tricky. It's really tricky to see how it's going to be able to be even gotten around, really, when they get all of this in play. At the moment, you can still get around a lot of it, but I don't know for how much longer. So, well, I guess we better leave it at that. This, I think, will have to be a video, and that's probably going to be half of it for YouTube, and the second half will probably have to just be on the other platforms. So just so it doesn't get banned, hopefully. So thank you again, Leo, and we'll have to do it again soon.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Tony, and God bless.
God bless you too. So, folks, please remember to subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com, our website. We have audio podcasts and video of all the shows that we do. But some of them will not be found on YouTube, for example, full videos, but you will always find them on the audio or video at our website, aminutetomidnight.com. We also post them on Apple Podcasts, Rumble, and BitChute. And A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations, and really appreciate the folks that do donate. Just gotten back from America, and things are not so easy, but I want to say thank you to the folks that do donate. And if anyone does want to help, you can do that by going to our website, aminutetomidnight.com, and going to the donations page. And the music that is used in the shows I've written, played, and recorded. And if you want to download any of my free instrumental music, you can find that at the website too. So God bless and stay safe, and hopefully we'll be back with another video in a few days' time.